League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. I hope you guys are all right. We've got a fantastic episode today. The main event is an interview I did with Jim Salverson. Now, Jim is a DJ, presenter, producer, has done loads of interesting stuff in the industry. He's interviewed all the Oasis guys over the years, and he's kindly allowed me to drop clips in. Some of this is on YouTube. Some of it's never been heard, I don't think, since it was broadcast on XFM. So really cool to have the chance to drop these in. And so it's a nice chat with Jim. So I hope you guys enjoy that. Plus, also, we talk about the documentary he recently did on Be Here Now, which is available as a podcast as well. So there's links to this in the description, but definitely check it out. As you'll hear, he spoke to three guys that we've spoke to here on the podcast. Nick Ingman, Nick Bryan, and Brian Cannon. So yeah, really cool to hear Jim catch up with those guys. Also, as I'm recording this, it's late Saturday night. Liam Gallagher earlier today performed at the Taylor Hawkins tribute concert, which is still going on. So he effectively opened the show after Dave Grohl's initial sort of introduction. And I thought it was really cool. He just did two songs. He did Rock and Roll Star and Live Forever, which both make sense when you're talking about Taylor. Not a huge amount of chat. He just kind of got on and did it. A couple of little mentions of Taylor. And then he sort of went round, and at the end of the Live Forever, he sort of went round and hugged all the different members of the band, which I thought was really nice. But what I thought was cool, like when he went and hugged Dave Grohl, because obviously Dave Grohl had played the drums, he didn't make a big show of it. He just sort of nipped round and did it, and then he was off. And I think the reason he was off is he is playing tonight at the Calamijas Festival in Spain. I was actually planning on potentially going to that one, but then with this being kind of the very busy weekend, kids back to school next week and stuff, so I didn't bother in the end. But yeah, so he's actually kind of flown in sort of specifically, did the Johnny Vaughan show yesterday, did the Wembley tribute concert today, and then literally on a private jet off to Spain to do the Mijas Festival tonight. So I'm assuming he makes it and does the show tonight. But yeah, that's really cool that he did that. And it's very similar, actually. He did the same thing. I think it was the Manchester Arena bombing. I think he was in Germany, and he literally, you know, chartered a plane back and forth just to do it, which was really, really cool. Good guy. And the performance, yeah, I thought it was great. His voice is his voice. You know, he delivers it. He's not quite as great as he always has, as he has been in the past, but he's definitely not as bad as his worst days. And obviously, he's just coming in and doing two songs pretty cold. So he just sort of belted them out, really. But I thought he did very well, and obviously he looked cool. You know, Wembley Stadium. They weren't like bouncing, but you wouldn't necessarily expect that with them not being Oasis fans. A few cutaways to the audience, it seemed that the guys were really into it. So it was good to see. And then the band, you know, obviously this is a brilliant band, the Foo Fighters, better than his current band. And Dave Grohl, especially. I mean, we've talked about the fact that on these two songs, you know, we love Tony's drumming. We love what he did on them. He just keeps it so simple. He does it fantastically. But you hear Dave Grohl. I mean, he does things that you think, how does he do that? You know, most times I watch a drummer and it just passes you by. You don't even notice. Maybe some of you guys that are really into it or really love drumming or are drummers yourselves might. But for me, often, you know, it's just drumming. Whereas Dave Grohl, there's things he does. There's little extra fills or little extra sort of passages. You just think, wow, that just was amazing. So, yeah, so he was always an incredible extra point to watch, as well as Liam. And yeah, I thought that the guys handled the solos and stuff very well, not note for note, but I don't think they were supposed to be. So yeah, all in all, really good performance, great way to kick off the show, and well done to Liam for doing it. And maybe I will never be all the things that I'd like to be. Now is not the time to cry, now's the time to find out why. I think you're the same as me. We'll see things I'll never say. Couple of bits to mention before we move on to the interview with Jim. Richard's book, some might say, the Oasis, official Oasis podcast book, is coming out in paperback form, which is cool. So if you had the hardback and you wanted the paperback as well, there you go. Or if you haven't got it before and you were waiting for another option, then there you go. I'll drop a link in the description of that. For that, and also the Rain podcast. Thank you very much for everyone that's given responses to that. It was really good fun. I'm going to carry on doing it. We've recorded the second episode. That's going to go up on the Oasis podcast B-Sides channel. Obviously, the last one went up on this channel, the main Oasis podcast channel. So if you'd like to carry on listening to that, then you'll have to go and subscribe to Oasis podcast B-Sides. Also out on Oasis podcast B-Sides a few days ago was the latest Britpop history. So that was covering August 1992. I snuck it in just in time, talking about Paul Weller and Acid Jazz and a few other people. So it's only about 10 minutes, 10, 12 minutes. Good fun listens. And if you're listening along, it's quite good. Good to follow that. And it'll be interesting to keep following that through all the way through as long as I can keep doing it. So cool. Right. Without any more further ado, here is me talking to Jim.
Cool. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, welcome to the Oasis podcast, Jim Salverson. How are you doing?
I'm really good, James. Thanks for inviting me on.
No, you are very, very welcome. And it's cool to have you on this side of it because I was very briefly, although much appreciated, on your recent long player documentary on Excess Manchester on Be Here Now, which was a fantastic piece of work.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was a joy to do that one. I've been doing the Excess long player for a while now. It's kind of got two formats. One on the radio station Excess Manchester, which is kind of an indie rock station in Manchester, where every now and again we'll do a full album playback and listen to an album from start to finish, which is something I think has been lost in the annals of time a little bit, and streaming services have kind of put pay to the days where you sit down and put an album on, listen to the first track, second and third, and like go for it in order. So we do that every now and again, and when we do that we try and speak to people who have influenced that album, who have made it, whether it's the artist or a producer or someone else that was involved somewhere down the line. And with the anniversary of Be Here Now coming up and it hitting 25 years on the planet, which makes me feel horribly old, but it was a perfect opportunity to explore what I think is a massively underrated album and speak to some of the people who kind of helped make that album as well. It was cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And was the plan going to be, because you dropped me a message and a little while ago, and I know you had Brian Cannon sort of booked in already, and then I sort of mentioned about the Knicks well. So was the plan to just really have Brian but then you sort of thought, oh, we'll chuck in Nick Bryan and Nick Ingman as well.
Yeah, well, it kind of depends who we can get quite often for this stuff. I mean, sometimes we're lucky enough to get the main man themselves when it comes to doing these album playbacks, but I think Liam and Noel basically refused to do any kind of promo for this anniversary at all for anyone. I think Liam's kind of out of the picture a little bit, and Noel would rather look forward than backwards. So they were kind of out of the picture. And I tried a few of the other obvious personnel. So Bonehead, I tried to get on, and he's obviously had his health issues recently. So he proved quite difficult. So I was looking at slightly different options and alternatives. And like you say, Brian Cannon was someone that I work with on Excess Manchester. I work with Clint Boone, who is a legend of the Manchester music scene. Used to have Noel Gallagher at his roadie in the Inspiral Carpet days, and obviously knows a lot of those people connected with Manchester music. He put me in contact with Brian, who was delighted to do it. And then I talked to you, and yeah, like you say, you mentioned a couple of other leads in Nick Bryan, the engineer, and Nick Ingham, who did the strings and the brass. And they just seemed like a really interesting duo to get on, and also just gave a bit of a different viewpoint on the album to potentially I would have got from Liam or Noel or one of the other boys anyway.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is like I think it was like Nick Bryan, I can't remember which one of the Nicks explained it this way, but you know, when that the recording process with Oasis was literally, you know, it wasn't like the Stone Roses in there for a year, you know, working through these songs, you know, jamming them through. This was Noel Gallagher walking in going, right, you do this, you do this, you do this. And then they would do their bit and then bugger off. You know, that was, I mean, recording, you know, obviously this one was much longer putting together, but the obvious example is Morning Glory, which took like 2 weeks. You know what I mean? So when they look back on these legendary sessions, it's like, well, I mean, and Liam was a bit of a one-take wonder. He would just literally come in, do it, and then, you know, maybe a couple of pickups or whatever, but he was done. So
he liked the dirt, didn't he? He liked the mistakes, and he liked the stuff that had gone slightly wrong that made it feel edgy and made it feel rock and roll. So he was able to kind of do that. He maybe didn't have the kind of, I don't want to say attention to detail, because I think he does have huge attention to detail, but didn't kind of demand the Brian Wilson-esque perfection that some people in the industry did.
Yeah, and also, you know, as I said, his demos are often as good as the recordings anyway. You know, for this album, what, you know, you had the Mystique demos that are, you know, they're pretty, that are, you know, not quite the studio, but then when you, like, later on, when you get to some of the later ones, like the Heathen Chemistry demos and things, you're like, this is better than the studio recording, you know, it's sort of, you know, I suppose as the technology got better with their four tracks and their home studios and things, like they, you know, Noel was such a perfectionist. He knew exactly how they should sound. And it's not like, you know, like someone, like you say, in the Roses, it's very much more of a jam sort of band where you would have, okay, well, what are you going to do? I'll riff off you and then it will go off in this direction. Well, no, with Oasis, it was pretty much verse, chorus, verse, middle, eight, chorus, and boom, we're out, you know. And And so you didn't really need to mess about too much. But in saying that, they did spend months doing this album, although that was probably a bit more the, it needed all that time for all those 400 guitar tracks that Noel was putting on every song.
All the huge overdubs and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I understand the demos for the album pre-studio were pretty stripped back completely compared to how the final LP came out, which is this great big wall of sound style production.
Yeah.
When you and Owen first got your hands on those stripped back demos, could you hear how it was going to end out, or was it kind of a process? Did it just build and build and build as you went on?
Well, Owen was involved in those demos, so Owen kind of knew them inside out anyway. And then he played them to a few of us in the studio. We just thought, first thing we thought is, wow, we got another great collection of songs. Some of them we'd heard before, because some of them Noel had a lot earlier on than Be Here Now as well. So we'd heard some of them. But the first time we heard the demos, just thought, wow, these are massive, massive songs again. And then, Owen and Noel's thing was, we're going to make a big wall of sound. You know, how many tracks can we get on the tape machine, Nick? And I was like, well, it's 48, so that's not enough. So we went to a digital tape machine because you could get 48. You could link two machines together. Which meant you could get 96 tracks. So we went on to two Sony digital tape machines just so we could get more tracks to fill it with more guitars. And the song wasn't finished until every track had been used up.
But what about you? Is this with your Oasis history, was Oasis a big band for you growing up, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't grow up in Manchester. I live in Manchester now. I've been here for 15 odd years. And so I kind of get the significance in this part of the world. But I think I was a bit of a wannabe plastic manc back in the day. Mm-hmm. And Oasis were the first band I listened to where I went, hang on, this is music for me. This is music that feels like it's written for my generation. And I would have been 15 or so when Definitely Maybe came out. And a friend of mine gave me Definitely Maybe, which they'd pirated onto a cassette. That they'd stolen the cassette off their dad. They ripped those little plastic tabs off and they'd recorded Oasis Definitely Maybe on one side and Harry Connick Jr. on the other. It was a weird mix. And I remember listening to it whilst I was in the shower and just going, wow, what is this? This feels like the first music I really connected to. And I think it was that kind of swagger of youth, that wanting to be something more than you are, that really kind of grabbed me. And it was instantly fallen in love with Oasis. And I think one of the reasons that Oasis became so significant to me and other people around that era is because they released so much so quickly. Mm. It was Definitely Maybe, and you kind of sat with that for a while. You heard about the tours, and then boom, it was Morning Glory. And then 13, 14 months later, it was Be Here Now. And it was almost relentless, but they just felt massive. And it felt like, as a fan of those bands, you were kind of part of it as well. It was a subculture in itself. Kind of, you had skinheads and mods and punks or whatever in the past, but there was a identity of people who just listened to Oasis or who were fans of Oasis, who were walking around in where I grew up in Surrey in parkas and little Lennon sunglasses and bucket hats and all that kind of thing. It felt like a bit of a special time. So the music was the starting point, but I think it was a time where, as a kind of 15, 16 year old searching for an identity, it kind of gave me something to belong to as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I was about 40 miles west of you in Oxfordshire and a year older, but pretty much exactly the same. That is my story. The only difference is when I got Definitely Maybe ripped onto a cassette for me, I had the Definitely Maybe B-sides on the other side. Probably maybe better than Harry Connick Jr. But Harry Connick Jr.
To be you, it had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who.
And then, so this was funny that it was only during, I think I saw you messaging about university, and it was like, we actually went to the same uni and we were on the same radio station, Demon FM. But we don't remember each other, but we remember different people that were both on the station.
Yeah, I mean, which is weird, isn't it? Because there was kind of like Demon FM had a pretty good social culture going on. There were lots of drinks and boozy nights out and stuff like that, which is probably why we don't remember each other. Yeah. Maybe they were too boozy. But yeah, that was kind of where I fell in love with and started my radio career, I guess, kind of doing Demon FM and getting involved in a couple of shows on there. I started off working on the breakfast show with a fella called Ant McGinley, who I'm still friends with and still work with on occasion to this day, and that started my love affair with the medium.
Wow, fantastic. No, I did a documentary. I did 90s nostalgia before 90s nostalgia was cool. It was still the 90s. I did a series, a four-part, because it was like we would have these restricted licenses, right? So it'd be four weeks. And I did a four-part documentary called Tied to the 90s, talking about 90s culture before we were still in the 90s. And that actually won like the best speech show at like the awards in 2000, 2001 or whenever it was.
Very good.
Which was very cool. But I mean, it's amazing. The people that have gone from there, I was just looking up the other day, you had, there's a woman called Emma. She was Emma Scrafton, now Emma Newman. She's a podcast producer, I think, for the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
Guy Chris Skinner, who was a podcast producer. He does The Bugle. And a couple of other like really, really big, well-known podcasts.
Yeah, produced Absolute Breakfast till relatively recently as well.
Wow.
And there's obviously Emma's now husband, Mike Newman, who is, I forget his exact title, but he's a big cheese at audio boom now. And he's produced a load of different radio programs. I guess because we're all still in the industry, so I'll still bump into Emma and Mike and Chris at various dues and awards ceremonies every now and again. So there's definitely a good bloodline of De Montfortians that have gone into the industry and kind of got good training back in the day and then made it work for themselves.
Well, when we were there, it won the Student Radio Station of the Year.
Yeah, definitely.
2001. And it won in 2001, which was then I left. So I didn't go to the do. But did you go to the do down in London?
No, I didn't. I think there was a reason why. I can't remember exactly it was, but my kind of, you're one up on me in terms of the winning the best speech award at the Student Radio Awards, because I've spent 25 years now working in audio and radio, and I don't think I've ever actually won an award.
Oh, what?
I've been nominated many, many times for Sony Awards and Arkiva Awards, and I forget what the new version is, the Radio Academy Awards or whatever they call, and I've kind of had second or third places, but I've never managed to win an actual proper radio award yet. One of the shows I work on, we do a lot of sport podcasts nowadays, and I work for a company called VoiceWorks Sport, which is creating a whole load of different sport content, and one of the podcasts I make called Football Social Daily recently won Best News and Current Affairs Show at the Sport Podcast Awards, which is a global kind of awards ceremony celebrating sports content, but it's not quite a radio award. That's where I've having spent so long working in radio, that's the one I want.
Well, I tell you what, mate, this be here now, I'm going to give you the Oasis Podcast Best Best Podcast Award. That's not my podcast. There you go. I can't vote for myself.
That feels very special.
I'll figure out something. I'll send it to you. But there you go. So that's cool. So how did you go from then De Montfort through to working for XS?
I guess a bit of blind luck more than anything else. But when I was working at De Montfort and doing various shows, I ended up working on a few local RSLs around the Leicester area. There was a African and Caribbean radio station that started every year around the African Caribbean Festival in Leicester. And myself and my friend that I mentioned previously, Ant, we ended up doing their breakfast show, I think purely because no one else wanted to do it. No one else wanted to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. So you had these two very, very white blokes working on an African Caribbean radio station. It was all very strange, but did that for a bit. Then I ended up working for a radio station called Takeover Radio in Leicester, which is a focused on children's audiences, so children's radio station. Did a few years there and just kind of got my air miles up, I guess, in terms of radio, in terms of production and presenting. From there, I ended up working at the BBC in Stoke, and then a radio station called XFM launched up in Manchester. And I knew XFM from my days living down south. It was a radio station that I always loved and always listened to in the days when it had the likes of Ricky Gervais on the airwaves. And when I saw they were starting this radio station in Manchester, I was like, that's where I want to work. And I ended up sending a demo and a cover letter and whatnot to the guy who I found out was the MD up at, or the program control it would have been, up at XFM in Manchester, and said, look, I really want to work for you. He invited me in for a chat, not based on the strength of my demo, but on the base, on the strength of the fact that he misread the address I'd put on the envelope, and he thought, because I put my address on the cover letter, and he thought I'd put his home address on the cover letter, because it turned out he lived three doors down from where I was living in Manchester at the time.
No way.
So he invited me in purely on the strength of, hang on, this guy's stalking me. I need to find out who he is. We got talking, and I ended up kind of getting a job doing their overnight shows. And then it's kind of gone on from there. So, yeah, I've worked at various radio stations, done various radio shows as a producer and a presenter. And currently I present the evening shows on XS Manchester, which is a great little station up here. It's one of the few kind of independent radio stations that isn't part of a massive brand covering loads of different areas. And we get to play some absolutely awesome music from the likes of Oasis and Stone Roses and Doves and all the brilliant bands that have come out of this city.
Yeah. And also there's a lot of new music as well.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the really important things that XS does. And a lot of it's driven out of my show, but it's an opportunity to support and celebrate some of the brilliant new music that comes out of mostly Manchester, but we also support new bands from right around the UK and beyond as well. So it's, there aren't many places nowadays where a new band can get airplay on the radio. And even though people keep on saying radio's dead and the future's in streaming services and whatnot, it still has a huge part to play, particularly in music discovery radio. So being able to support those kind of new up-and-coming artists, I think, is really important as a radio station, particularly when you're supporting the artists that are in your city, and it gives them a platform as well. And you can definitely hear the influences that bands of the past have played in the new bands coming through. So, like, 80s synth is really popular at the moment, and emo's coming back. I think I hear both of those things in new music, but every now and again you'll hear like a Gallagher-esque rhyming couplet that's been ripped from somewhere, or a bit of Johnny Squire guitar, and you'll go, oh yeah, there's the Bloodlines.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I know. It's I was talking, we've been discussing with Richard, who's a regular contributor to this show, actually, about doing like a new music like review podcast, but not necessarily new bands, because there's plenty of new bands radio shows and things out there, but just like a magazine show, like it used to be with the NME. You would have, you know, if you wanted to find out what the Charlatans were up to, or Supergrass, or you know, like the big bands,
yeah,
you know, guitar music, indie music, like. But I think what's happened in the last few years is that, like, it used to be the Evening Session on Radio 1. Well, that's now Future Sounds, and they play all kinds of different music, which is great, you know, and it's sort of the Spotify-ication of the world, isn't it? That, you know, everything is up for grabs now. It's not like indie fans listen to indie music. It's like everything is in there, and that's great. But it means that sort of if what you're really into is indie music and, you know, guitar sound, well, there isn't really a place to go in the mainstream for that anymore. The NME doesn't exist. And when it does, it covers a lot of pop and gaming and films and TV. And, you know, and then same with like, so something like what you guys are doing is absolutely vital. Yeah. For new bands to get that chance.
Yeah. It is interesting, because I think the way people consume music is changing, and you do see, you don't get so much people associating or going towards one musical genre now. And on the very rare occasions that I'll go and DJ in nightclubs or something like that, you've got people who like, I'm going to show myself to be horribly out of touch now by picking bands that aren't really current, but like people will like to listen to Cortina's Not 19 Forever just as much as they'll like to listen to the latest track from Dave or something from Billie Eilish. It's kind of music tastes have broadened. And I think you're right. It's Spotify that's driven that, because you can flip between completely different genres and tracks now. It's not, you're not tied to one thing, but you're right, by the same token, it is, it does become different for someone who is looking for a specific type of music to maybe go and find the latest news or opinion or reviews on that specific type of music, other than radio stations like XS Manchester.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cool. All right. Well, what about, you know, going back to the Oasis side then, did you sort of, you know, you mentioned that you kind of got into them from that tape with Harry Connick Jr. on the other side, but then did you see them much over the years? Did you follow the career all the way through?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I ever saw Oasis live that I can remember until the kind of right at the end of their career when they were playing the Wembley Stadium gigs at the new Wembley. I think that's the first chance I actually got to see them live. And they were pretty poor by that stage of their career, I think. They were shared a stage with, if I remember rightly, it was Reverend and the Makers, The Enemy, and Kasabian, I think it was, played the support for that gig. And actually Oasis were probably the worst band on the lineup that night. They kind of didn't have much interest in playing live at all, but I was always very much into their music when it was released. I kind of had every single cassette it would have been at the time in my car that I could kind of listen to as I was driving around, but I didn't get much opportunity to see him live around then. No,
well, fair enough. And then what about since the into the solo years and stuff, have you followed it, and also have you had any interactions with them being in the, I know there's Clint had Liam into the studio, didn't he, at some point a few years ago?
Yeah, I think I've spoken to Noel a couple of times. I've spoken to Liam a couple of times. I've spoken to Bonehead a few times as well. I think that's probably it in terms of my collector's cards and who I've had a chat with. But they're always interesting characters, and they've definitely got their own personalities. And I think I grew up being a big Noel fan. He was kind of like the one in the band. I was like, he's the talent, he's the leader, that's the one I want to be. And the more I've interacted with them, I'm definitely more team Liam now. I think he's certainly the more likable character of the two.
The XFM Breakfast Show, I'm Tim Cocker. That there is producer Jim.
Morning.
On the day that BDI's new album, Beat, is released, delighted that Liam Gallagher, Andy Bell and Gem Archer from the band are my guests.
Hello.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Hello there.
How do we turn this up, man?
Just this knob here, Liam.
Yeah, Jimbo, you sort out Liam's headphones. I'll tell you what, while you're doing that, I am going to play something, a story that Liam said during that Bowie song. It was off air, but I have to play this. This needs to be heard. Have a listen. This was moments ago.
Right, check this out. Geezer comes up to me after Glastonbury. I've got psoriasis in my hair, right? So like, it's like flaky skin. So we're backstage, this geezer's come over. He's going, oh, Liam, man. Starts picking the psoriasis in my ear and starts putting it up his nose, thinks it's cocaine. And I'm stood there going like that. Psoriasis, but I let him get on with it. Have you not heard that one before?
I've never heard that before. That was brilliant.
Ask me part, that's...
That's brilliant.
Better, it's better than the Queen's speech, isn't it? No, it's true, man. It's true, mate.
I love it. Gents, welcome to XFM. Like I say, just a few days now till BDI's B is here. What is the mood in the camp right now?
Yeah, feeling good, man, you know. We always feel good when we're releasing a record.
Well, we're digging it at XFM and been playing the tunes, and I get the impression from our listeners and from generally what you're reading and hearing and the general vibe that it's winning a lot of fans.
Right, not heard that one.
Have you not?
No, man, I mean, people seem to like it and that, but, you know, it's hard to tell until you do a gig. you know, you'll find out, I mean, I guess, when it comes out, I guess, you know what I mean? But people seem to like it and people seem to hate it as well, so...
Well, I'll tell you what I like about it. I like the fact that you've pushed yourself, it seems, gone experimental at times. You've got the horns and the string sections in there. And then there's tunes that are proper stripped back and tender almost, I'd say. Songs like Start Anew.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot of... I've been looking in some of the acoustic stuff you've done when you've been abroad, that they work when you strip it right back just to guitars and your vocals.
Yeah, man, without a doubt. If you can't play the song acoustic, man, it's not worth putting it out, is it? You know what I mean? So, yeah, it works.
Yeah. You almost sound a little bit like on the defensive, like ready for people to knock you. You just kind of sticking together and pulling tighter and believing in the record.
It's, you know, like we said, oh, people really digging it and all that and everything. But it's like we do it for the music. I know that sounds simple and odd, but we like the record. So when people tell you they love it, you're kind of almost going, I don't know. It's kind of, I've got a mate, basically, who hates everything and he likes this and I don't trust him.
But I had a brilliant moment with Bonehead when I first met him. We did... I used to work on a radio station called XFM, as I mentioned, and I spent some time doing the breakfast show with a friend and colleague of mine called Tim Cocker. And we did a radio show where... it's very similar to Tight of the 90s. We kind of presented the radio show as if it was the... year that definitely maybe was being released. So I think it was for one of the anniversaries. I'm guessing it would have been the 20th anniversary of Definitely Maybe. And we did the whole thing as if it was live from the year 1994. So all the news was focused on 1994. We had guests in from 1994. All the music was from that era. And we got Bonehead to come in and talk about Oasis Definitely Maybe being released as if it was a new release, as if it was like something that had come out the day before, and how excited he was as a member of Oasis to be releasing this album, which was really cool. And he came into the studio, and one of the first things he did was, like, he went up to myself and Tim and went, do you mind if I have a picture with you boys, because my kids are really big fans of the show.
No way.
And it was kind of like this is one of the guys that I grew up being a massive fan of his band, and he's just asked me for a picture. It was like a really surreal but really nice moment as well.
Good morning.
We're here on the morning that your debut album, yes. And you've made the short journey from Didsbury to come and see us this morning. Thank you very much for that. Your debut album is out this morning at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Now, for anyone that's not familiar with Oasis, and there will be people listening to XFM who've just maybe heard the odd tune on XFM, just talk us through the band members if people aren't familiar with the band.
The band members is myself, Bonehead, on rhythm guitar, Noel Gallagher on lead guitar and backing vocal as the songwriter. Liam Gallagher on vocals and tambourine. Should give him something to play, haven't you? Tony McCarroll on drums and Paul McGuigan on bass.
And so far, what's the biggest venue that you guys have played?
The biggest venue, I think the biggest gig that we did, we were mid-recording the album and we did our debut London gig at the Water Rats. We travelled from the studio down in a minibus to do the gig and then back to finish the recording. We sold it out, you know, it was packed to the rafters and never seen so many people in a building in my life. Yeah.
How many people were you talking about at the Water
Rats? I don't know, a couple of hundred, but it was absolutely packed. Yeah, they were packed to the door, you know, which we weren't really expecting. We got out of the minibus and it was like, right, okay.
And some people are saying that there's a music scene in Manchester about to ignite and people are excited about the Stone Roses finally being able to release a new album as well later this year. Do you think there's something bubbling away in Manchester?
Us, probably, I'd say. Yeah, we're bubbling away and we're about to burst that bubble.
Lead single, Supersonic, which we've already been playing on XFM and people have been absolutely loving. But is there any other song we need to watch out for on this album that you're particularly proud of, Bonehead?
Live Forever. One that I'm particularly proud of, yeah. But Supersonic, probably one of my favourites, I think, on it. And just the fact it was written so quickly, you know, we went in the studio to record something else with him. Was supposed to be recording a song called Bring It On Down. While we were trying to record sort of drums, bass and guitar, Noel sat in the control room and he just, within an hour and a half, he'd written Supersonic from start to finish with lyrics, brought it into us and just said, look, stop recording. I wrote another song. And that was Supersonic. We had 20 minutes running through it and then we sat and recorded it and we did it and mixed it, you know. So really proud of that for the way it came out and the way it sounded.
And you mentioned Live Forever. Do you think that could become a song which people look back on, say, in 20 years' time and think...
I'd like to think so. I mean, I think it really is anthemic. It's not a particularly tricky song. You know, it's got a great guitar solo in it. But it's just one of those songs, you know, you instantly hear it and you just think, well, that's an anthem, you know. So hopefully in years to come, people will still remember it for that.
Well, we've not actually played this on XFM, but maybe we should play Live Forever then. Yeah. I've got a copy of the new album, got a cassette, but I'll put the CD in on this occasion. And yeah, we'll have a listen to Live Forever on XFM.
So yeah, I've managed to talk to most of the guys over the years. And yeah, it's been a, considering these are the figures that I grew up with as my musical heroes, it's always nice to be able to go. People say never meet your heroes, don't they? But I'm not sure that's always the case.
Wow, how cool is that? And he went along with it. He played up to the whole, like, yeah, it's just come out thing.
Yeah, it was a real... that was one of the shows we actually got an award nomination for. We didn't win it, but we got an award nomination. But yeah, it was really fun. It was kind of... It required a little bit of acting on his part, and it was all a bit tongue-in-cheek, kind of like he played up to it, going, oh, I don't know how the album's going to do, all that kind of thing. Maybe we'll get to make a second album. But it was good fun.
That's good fun. And you said you spoke to the Gallagher brothers a couple of times each. What was that? Was that for interviews for the radio?
Yeah, completely. So most of these things happen kind of down the line nowadays, like we're doing now. So that happened via, well, ISDN lines rather than, which is like a digital phone line, rather than over Zoom, which wasn't really as in vogue back in those days. But I got to meet Noel Gallagher backstage at the Manchester Arena when he played here, and I had a bit of a chat with him. And he's one of the things that Noel does, I think, and he's done this a couple of times when I've interviewed him and I've heard him being interviewed by colleagues, is he likes to get the first shot in. He kind of likes to put you in your place instantly. And I remember going up to him and sort of saying, hi Noel, nice to meet you, looking forward to tonight's gig, and then made a joke of some kind. I can't remember what the joke was. It was probably crap, but and Noel just went, all right, keep your powder dry till the tape's running, or something like that. So he likes to let you know who's boss the second you walk in the room.
Yeah, definitely. Fantastic.
You might have seen Kanye West is selling a bag of air from his concert
right
on the internet for £89,000.
Right,
it's a plastic bag and it's full of air.
Right, hot air, no doubt.
Breathe by Kanye West. So
right.
I thought, here's a plastic bag.
Right.
We'll go 50-50.
I don't think so, do you? No. No, I don't think so. Is that a true story? Why 89,000? Why not 90? £89,000. Well, more fool the fucking arsehole that buys it. Clearly a sad individual. But no, I won't be farting in that for you and sticking it in your vein. No.
That's cool, man. That's really good. But are you... When you're going into those sort of things, are you nervous, or are you kind of, well, like, I've done so many of these now over the years that it is what it is. You know what you've got to say. You've got to hit these beats. And so it's not a big deal. Or is it still, this is Noel Gallagher?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever got nervous interviewing people. I think whether it's sports personalities or whether it's music personalities, they are just people at the end of the day. And I think if you're confident and comfortable talking to them, that's when the best conversation can come out. And as long as you do your preparation and as long as you know what you're saying and that what you're saying is correct, and most importantly, most of the time when you're talking to music artists, you've actually listened to whatever it is they want to promote. So if they're there promoting an album, don't go in and try and blag the fact you've listened to that album, because they will pull you up on it and they will know instantly. But if you can go in armed with the facts and armed with the knowledge, there's no reason to be nervous, and it just leads to a better conversation. So thankfully I've never suffered from nerves in those situations.
That is cool. That is good.
So we've covered off Kim Kardashian and her backside. We've covered off what you used to do with girls in Erwood Park as a youth. We've covered off City, but we haven't covered off yet the big one, Desert Island Bisques. That's something we ask everybody that comes on, so you're no different, Noel. So you've heard of Desert Island Discs, where you pick music, but...
I'm actually doing that in a few weeks.
Oh, I want to hear that. Brilliant.
Mm.
Well, it'll be a come down after this one.
Desert Island Discs.
Most things will be.
If you're stranded on a desert island, you can have one biscuit for the rest of your days. Which do you go with?
Oh, just one?
Well, not one individual biscuit, one type of biscuit.
Oh...
Just to give you some background, your brother went for the United biscuit.
I'll tell you what was a mega, mega biscuit. I just hated the name of it. Remember the United biscuits?
Yeah.
Remember them?
Yeah.
It was called United,
yeah.
And it was a blue and white wrapper.
Do you know what? The United biscuit is a lost classic. A lost classic. Like, you know, the Mint Club biscuits?
Well, they're still.
I mean, I'm not choosing that. I'm not choosing that. Okay. Hang on a minute. I'm just putting that out there. Hang on. Wait, hang on a minute. Don't hassle me here. This is.
Take your time.
I'm gonna. The United biscuit. That's done me head in. What a snack. I don't really eat biscuits. Oh. The Mikado biscuits are good. Kimberley biscuits. Yeah. A box of those. One biscuit lasts you 4 months. Takes you 4 months to get rid of it. Unbelievable. Kimberley.
You're on. It's down. It's written in. It's in ink.
She was my favourite Girls Aloud as well, any Kimberley. Wasn't she? What a woman. Don't you think?
She's a beautiful woman.
She's
good lips.
A beauty.
Good lips.
Yes, indeed.
XFM.
Wonderful. All right. Well, look. What's next for? Have you got more lined up for the Long Player Classic albums? Because you've had what? Baby Shambles, Star Sailor, Lightning Seeds, In Spirals, Subways. Yeah.
Oh, there's been loads of them. And there's loads more I want to do. And it relies a little bit on being able to access the individuals. I mean, I did Definitely Maybe as an album. I spoke to Alan McGee about the making of Definitely Maybe, and he had some brilliant stories about the early days of that album, some that I had to edit out of the podcast because I was worried about being sued, but there's some absolutely brilliant tales from that. I'm quite interested in doing Hard Fight, actually. I think that's one that's on my wanted list, because they've just announced they're reforming, and they're going to be up in Manchester soon for the Neighbourhood Festival up here, so I've got my eyes on that one. I'd love to do the Blue Tones. I think they were one of my favourite bands growing up, so I think that's a band that I'd like to have a chat with and kind of explore their music a bit more. But yeah, I mean, there's so many brilliant albums from that kind of 90s, noughties era that were just kind of setting the tone when it came to guitar music. So there's plenty to go at, but it does rely slightly on being able to, because it is brilliant to talk to the likes of Nick Ingham and Nick Brine and the people involved that would be here now that I talk to, but at the same time it is also brilliant to talk to one I actually spoke to the kind of front men of, but yeah, like talk to the main man themselves and the person that kind of wrote the music. I think Badly Drawn Boy was a great episode, actually, when I talked to Damon about Hour of the Bewilderbeast, because he was able to go so deep into the creation and the meaning of those songs that it gave me a different perspective than maybe the producer would have done. But yeah, there's many albums on my wanted list, and I'm always open to suggestions as well. So I always say, look, if there's an album that you want me to talk about to someone, then get in touch and let me know, and I'll try and get it sorted.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At the time, I remember hearing the album for the first time. One of the things that drew me to it was the almost unaffected honesty of the vocals. And the whole album just felt like something very different to what had come before. Did it feel like that at the time? Did it feel like you were making something that was unique, that didn't reflect kind of the previous 10 years of music? So it was coming off the back of like Britpop and whatnot.
Yeah, well, I mean, being in Manchester in the mid-90s with everything that was kicking off with, obviously, Oasis were just dominating the world, and that was exciting for Manchester as a place to be in. But I'd always felt that connection to Manchester with earlier bands in my life, the Smiths and the Fall, the Manchester scene, and Joy Division, New Order. There was always something in the air, and I already felt different being a solo artist. So when I was doing these strange gigs that I was heavily criticised at the time for being pretty rubbish, but I kind of thrived on that. I thought, well, I'm not trying to represent this thing that Manchester is associated with. I'm trying to be another kind of arm of it, another facet of what Manchester has to offer. So I immediately stood out. To some people, I wasn't a good thing, and to others, I was the greatest thing because it was different. That helped initially get me noticed, I suppose, looking back. But I suppose just the singer-songwritery thing generally wasn't that represented in Manchester at the time. And with Twisted Nerve and other bands that we had, it became like an acoustic movement, the new acoustic movement, which I kind of didn't really feel that we'd instigated anything new or fresh in that department. It was just guitars still. But I suppose the homemadeness of Twisted Nerve and me, that was an aspect of it.
Fantastic. Brilliant. All right, mate. Well, look, it's been really, really good to catch up. And
yeah, nice to speak to you.
Yeah, I can't believe we never met or we never spoke to each other. But I think we were in the same bar at the De Montfort Student Union at some point, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure we were. Drinking slightly warm cider.
Yeah. Did you go to the fan club?
Yeah, occasionally I'd go to the fan club. But I was also like at university, I had a bit of a musical dark period where I suddenly got into kind of hardcore house and stuff like that. So I was like, what was the big house club called I can't remember, the road near the rugby ground. There was a big house like nightclub there that I used to spend a bit of time with. So I was splitting my time between slightly weird beep beep hardcore music and indie music at the time.
No, well, I was literally in the fan club. For people that don't know, the fan club in Leicester is like the indie club. I don't know if it's still... I looked up a few years ago. I think it's still going. But yeah, it would play all like the indie classics and the stuff that was coming out at the time. And then there was... and we'd literally lived in there. Me and my little gang of little Oasis wannabes strutting around with our that was great days. I did enjoy that time, but yeah, cool. All right, mate. Well, look, we tend to finish, I didn't warn you about this, but we tend to finish with the favorite Oasis song of your choice. So have you got a particular favorite Oasis song for us to play out with?
Oh god, do you know what, it changes on a weekly basis, this, and it usually depends on it what the last Oasis song I heard was that then suddenly becomes my favorite. And one of the things I thought when I was listening back to Be Here Now was, actually I think an Oasis song's identity and feeling changes dramatically depending on what's preceded it and what comes after it. So like when I was listening to Be Here Now, it's such an album in its entirety that when you listen to it and it kind of blends and goes into each other and you've got these like musical refrains that join them together, it changes those songs completely. And I think that's the case with Oasis, that when you listen to albums, it kind of changes the songs. But I think I'd probably pick a B side just to be a little bit contrary. And I think Oasis are without doubt the band with the greatest B side collection. And I've always been a big fan of Talk Tonight as well. I think it's one of those songs that just shows how great a songwriter Noel Gallagher was, how he was a master of the melody and how he could do something like Be Here Now, which was huge and overblown and cocaine fueled, but at the same time, he could strip it right back and play a really simple acoustic song like Talk Tonight.
Brilliant. Well, I love that one, mate, as well. So I'll drop in Talk Tonight here. But where can the kids find you online?
So if you want to listen to the XS Long Player, then just search XS Long Player wherever you are listening to this podcast, I guess. If you want to listen to the radio station, if you're in Manchester, it's 106.1 FM. And if you're outside Manchester, then you can get the XS Manchester app in the store, or you can go to the website, which is xsmanchester.co.uk, and find us there.
Brilliant. Well, Jim, much appreciated, mate. Great to speak. And good luck.
Cheers, dude.
Cheers, mate. All the best. Sleeping on a plane, you know you can't complain. You took your last chance once again. I landed, stranded, hardly even knew your name. Yeah. But I wanna talk tonight until the morning. About how you saved my life. You and me see how we are. You and me see how we are. All right, thank you very much to Jim. Great to talk to him. Amazing that we were at uni together but didn't know each other. Very strange. But I think it was, thinking back now, I think we were quite
Clicky, our little mates, and we didn't really see anyone else. We just did our own thing, to be honest. That's probably why. But yeah, so there you go. Really good to speak to him. Good guy. Make sure you're checking him out in all the places that you can, like he said. And yeah, make sure definitely check out that Be Here Now documentary podcast. It is linked below. And yeah, and I'm on it very briefly, which is cool. Right, that will do it for today. Thank you very much for listening to the Oasis podcast. And most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is and it's greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I post various things, including bonus episodes. And yeah, and it's good fun. We have a Discord chat over there. I'm always happy to do more stuff as well over there. So do go and check that out. And do follow in the usual places at Oasis Podcast on Twitter and Oasis Pod on Instagram. Email me oasispod@gmail.com with any audio messages or any thoughts, or if you just want to get in touch, it's always good to hear from you. And I've mentioned it on Twitter, but you will notice that today's episode is, I believe, 197. So we are very close now to getting to episode 200. Now, for episode 200, I wanted to do something a little bit different or special. Episode 100, we were in a live event in Scotland, I believe. We haven't got a live event lined up. We haven't got like an ex-Oasis lined up, an ex-Oasis member lined up. So what could we do that's a little bit different, a little bit special and extra? What I'm going to do, inspired by Stephen Hayden, the journalist, recently doing his top 100 Oasis songs, and then I think someone else on Twitter said they were going to rank or review every Oasis song. So I thought, right, well, let's go over and above. What can I do that I don't think anyone else has done online? And that's to rank every single song officially released by the Gallaghers. So that's Oasis, Liam, Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, BDI, collaborations where they are the named artist, not where they are featuring. But yeah, so overall there's 282 songs, as far as I'm aware, that were officially released under those names. And yeah, I'm ranking them all. I've got like most of the way through. It's bloody hard, but I'm getting there. So for episode 200, it will be the ranking of every single official release by the Gallaghers. All right, thank you very much for listening to the Oasis podcast, and we will see you next time. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.